But I'm more worried about a system that puts you in the hands of people who can forcibly medicate you, who can brutalize you, who can lock you up without your rights, who can keep you from your family and friends, not even inform them that you're there. It becomes a great difficulty in learning if a person is in a psychiatric ward. And there's all kinds of problems that really need to be looked into that I haven't looked into much in this area. I was very active in NAPA in the 70s. NAPA is a group called Network Against Psychiatric Assault, which succeeded in Berkeley for a year in banning electroshock from the Berkeley hospitals. That was in the early 80s, and I think the courts overruled that as being too wide a mandate of power to the city, and so now Linda, you want to say something about this?
Just that using shock therapy is back in vogue now, including in our county.
Yeah, it is in vogue to characterize homeless people as either loonies, bums, drunks, or druggies. That's the latest. If they're drunks, druggies, or loonies, then they need to be locked up or treated. If they're bums, then they need to be abused. But they can't be individuals who are on the streets because they don't have any affordable housing, because all the housing is being destroyed by groups like the Seaside Company in concert with their junior pals on the city council. Or they can't be considered to be counterculture people who've decided to opt out of a militaristic society and are trying to find their own way in life. And in trying to do so, they're being arrested by police and so forth for simply falling asleep in areas where they're harming no one. So you have a situation where homeless people are being increasingly characterized as sort of new raw material for the mental health industry. Although at the same time, of course, all the funding that used to go into the mental health industry is, at least some of it, is evaporating as more and more money gets removed from the public sector. Did you have any comment on this?
Talk about a hate crime.
Indeed. Feel free to expand on that if you wish.
Well, hopefully if people are listening to you, it's obvious, but it seems to me that when they create a double bind, that creates pushing you into that system in order to get a meal or to get a shower in jail at night because there's no other place it's safe to sleep, or relatively safe. It creates a system that can only hurt you. I mean, in my view, and I think that's what you were saying, Robert, institutionalization isn't good for people in general. And people who have adapted to it, including me, they're all screwed up. My first year of it was when I was in fifth grade, and they had my mother in a psychiatric hospital and all her children in an orphanage. So, I mean, I feel strongly about this, but it can be survived, I think. It's dangerous. It sets you up to ask for help. You admit you got this quote, dual diagnosis, end quote, because you're using booze for medicine because it's the only kind you can get your hands on. You're homeless. You're half crazy just by being homeless in this town. But that's how you get, quote, help, end quote. But it'll come back and haunt you later, so.
Well, yeah. I think it's really important that we know our rights around these issues. And that's why I was kind of interviewing George Cavallo today. And I don't yet have an opportunity to go on the air with him because I think his board of directors or his boss is going to tell him, no, you can't go on a pirate radio. He called me back to ask me if this was a micro broadcasting station that I wanted him on. I said, yes, it is. And he said, uh-oh. So nonetheless, I'm going to pass on the information to you, and I'm probably going to be doing this on another show. He had a lot of interesting things to say. He said that there are numerous protections for you if you get swooped up by the psychiatric system, although the protections sounded pretty feeble, actually. For example, there's a thing called a Reese hearing. Reese hearing is a hearing that enables you, if you don't want to, for example, be doped up with a bunch of drugs, you have the right to refuse medication while you're being incarcerated. Apparently, you only can do that if you fulfill a number of criteria having to do with understanding your diagnosis, being able to show you have a rational perception of the situation. You actually went through a number of criteria that didn't have much to do with the criteria they would have for holding you, like, are you a danger to anybody? And he said that of all the cases that he'd taken, he'd won only two out of more than 100. So over 100 people have been forcibly medicated, and only two have been able to afford to say, I prefer not to take this medication. I'm not going to break any windows. You know, let's find another way. He has a slightly higher percentage of wins when it comes to winning the so-called 5150 hearing, where you go in to see if you, actually it's a 5250 hearing, whether you're going to be held for 14 days. You can't, they hold you for 72 hours whether you like it or not, usually. But when you go in for the, when you have the hearing for the 5250 for the 14 days, if you can show that you're not gravely disabled, and I don't know what the standard here is, whether it's, whether you have to prove it or whether they have to prove the other, which of course is important. And of course, a criminal proceeding, they have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you are guilty. In a civil proceeding, to win, you have to show by a preponderance of the evidence that, you know, your position is the position to believe. And I'm not sure on who the burden of proof lies. I would hope on the psychiatric authorities to show that you're gravely disabled. Linda's shaking her head. Linda, do you have knowledge about this?
I'm trying to remember what workshop I went to. But the evidence is on your shoulders, and the ability to present it is on your shoulders. So to be simplistic, what that boils down to is if you got the kind of money that can get you a lawyer, you have a chance to win. But if you're going in there because you're down and out in the first place, if that's one of the precipitating things, you're fucked.
Well, actually, that you don't get a lawyer's help. We're talking about in-hospital hearings. This is 5250 and 5150, 5250, and 5350 hearings all happen, as I understand it, in the hospital. They are administrative hearings, and so you don't really get, you know, the access to attorneys. I suppose theoretically you might get access to an attorney if you were sufficiently coherent to be able to call for one and so forth, given the drugging that they might give you if you came in. You do get access to an attorney. Well, I don't know. I don't think you necessarily get access to attorney if you file what's called a writ of habeas corpus, which is what you can do at any time when you're being held, and then you get a right to go before a judge, and they have to prove that you are a danger to yourself, a danger to others, or gravely disabled. And I believe they have to prove it. I don't think you have to disprove it before the court. But that is more difficult to do because it involves getting, you have to write the writ and get it to the court. And he said that the success rate there has been about 20%, a little bit less than 20%. He said there's a slightly higher success rate in release hearings before administrative officials or after a 72-hour hold. So for all of you psychiatric incarceration buffs who are following this, that's kind of the update on that. Let me turn now to a brief breath of fresh air. Let's hear Julia Vinograd give us some words that actually sound worth hearing.
Words that blind because they are so beautiful. There are words that kill because they are so holy. We spend a lifetime unfit to speak them and speak them anyway because there's no choice. Words fly out of our bleeding mouths on mutilated wings, and their song is never quite the song that kept us awake. Ashamed to hear the tide so completely possessed by moonlight, each wave arcing its back and the little sigh of satisfied foam. Ashamed to feel God looking at the world because he has nothing else to look at and never sleeps. His silent face staring through window panes of all those faded furnished rooms. Have you ever tried to comfort God? We are censored enough by what we cannot say. We are censored by the fall of Babel, by the confusion of tongues. Oh, let us confuse our tongues in a kiss. There is a language where the letters are our fingerprints. Can we translate them into speech? We are censored by the fall of Icarus. We are censored by the fall of man. We are censored by the fall of almond blossoms in the first wing. We are censored by falling in love when the rest of the world is erased and we need a language that's never been used before. We pull out the aching muscles of our pens. The bones of paper are so brittle to hold up the world, they snap and crumble. We crumble the paper and throw it away and throw ourselves after it. Typewriter keys are children in kindergarten who always raise their hands and never know the answer. We are censored enough from above, only from above, by what we can't say yet, by what we still must learn. But because our wings fail, should we cut off our feet? Words don't exist so clothes can talk to each other. Words are to climb. We need more, not less. We'll take every nakedness of body and spirit, every energy, skin, sweat, as the flesh becomes word, as the word becomes flesh, to add one burning feather to Icarus's wing, to fly a little closer to the sun.
Julia Vinograd, Eye of the Hand, from her spoken album and from many of her books. She's written 43 books. She's a street poet in Berkeley. You can often find her in the Cafe Med. She's also known as the Bubble Woman of Berkeley. You'll see her blowing bubbles on the street. She blows wonderful verbal bubbles, and they remain. They don't just pop. You can actually read them again and again and savor them. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm Bathrobe's Pierre Robert Norse. In the studio with me is Linda LeMaster, and of course, as usual, running behind. I'm afraid I'm going to have to postpone a few of the interviews that I'd hoped. Among them will probably be Phil Baer's interview. Phil, if you're listening, this is going to have to come later, but don't despair. It'll be happening probably on Sunday. Also, I had a radio interview with Radio Watson, which is a Watsonville free radio station, and we're going to hear from him again on Sunday at the 11 o'clock show. We'll be hearing probably from the Prescott, Arizona folks from interviews I had back then, back in June, I should say. But right now, I want you to pick up on Jerry Herman. I don't know if you remember, Jerry Henry. I always get that name wrong. Jerry Henry is a street preacher, a fellow who hangs out in Aptos at the shopping center there, and has been targeted by the sheriff's department, by the coffee roasting company, by the liquor store there, for advising young people on their rights, which they find inappropriate. They want young people to respond to authority and not to worry about such disquieting difficulties as civil rights. Jerry was barred from the shopping, not the shopping center, but from the roasting company. He was sued by Gottschalks and other businesses who wanted to have him removed from the center. And he countersued when the shopping center closed off a significant area of seating, supposedly for different reasons, to tile the area, to protect the flowers. But he and those who helped him in the lawsuit claimed it was to remove seating for poor people and for young people who were there, to do a kind of Santa Cruz Pacific Garden Mall number on the Aptos Shopping Center. Well, we found him at his usual spot, sipping a cup of coffee, seated at the Aptos Shopping Center, well away from the coffee roasting company, I should say, at least one storefront away, which is what the courts ordered him to do. And I should say, this is not for breaking any windows or verbally abusing any people. It's because they found his tape recorder intimidating. He carries a tape recorder because of the abuse he has suffered. Let's hear from Jerry Henry.
At the graveyard.
Okay, it's about 3:30 on August 1st, 1998. I'm here in front of, what do we call this place, Jerry?
Ranco Liquors.
Ranco Liquors, or Rancho Liquors for the uninitiated. And I'm here with Jerry Henry, who's sort of a street minister and youth counselor to a lot of the young folks who are here at the shopping center. We've talked to Jerry in the past, and we're actually sitting in an area that had been fenced off, what, since May?
Yeah, I've been since the night of graduation from Aptos High. The night they had graduation at Aptos High, they put up the fence.
And this was sort of a fence.
June 12th.
This sort of a
sort of a fence. A long time ago.
Sort of a fenced off area with kind of orange netting that, I guess, we heard different claims. The sheriff's deputy's office claimed they were retiling the area. Has this been retiled, by the way?
No.
Hasn't been retiled.
In court, they said that it was because they had planted these plants. You can see these six, seven daisies around here, whatever they are. I'm not sure what they are, but...
These are plants and planters that are well removed and set back from the sitting areas where people you and I and several other folks are sitting kind of on the on a flat.
They kept thinking the kids were wrecking the plants, but we've got to figuring that it might be that gopher they got over there in that flower bed, too.
Could be one of the criminal gophers.
Yeah.
In any case, the reality of it was that you have been, shall we say, the subject of numerous legal and certain illegal actions by the Gottschalks, the coffee roasting company, perhaps even this very liquor store, designed to get you out of here. In fact, you were talking to me about you began to raise a fund for the kids here in the area who are similarly being targeted by this new sheriff's substation. What are they being targeted for?
Oh, I don't know. They use all kinds of words like hanging out, and I tried to tell them that there ain't nobody hanging out or loitering or nothing. They're just trying to live. They're just here living.
Right. Now, we are in a shopping center, but this is Aptos, and it really is a public area. It's open to the public. It's really kind of sort of the city center. I don't know what the city center of Aptos is.
Well, this is our news center. This is where they distribute more newspapers than any place else in town. And, you know, it is definitely the shopping center itself advertises it being the shopping center of Aptos, or Kraptos, whichever.
Mm. Yes. So, because it's such a public area, the idea that Sheriff
Heartless.
Well, we've heard of his problems with, I guess, Deverell, his predecessor, trying to harass the friends of Richard Quigley, a libertarian activist who took a mind to challenge the deputy, or the sergeant, I should say.
Oh, about his parking place.
About the parking spot that he himself painted red in order to, should we say,
painted it red
in order to guarantee himself a parking spot. I guess he has especially high regard for himself, and self-esteem is certainly a good thing, but I guess when it comes to men with badges and guns, we want to make sure that they are not valuing their own privileges and power more highly than their responsibilities to the community, because we give them the power of life and death, in essence, with those kinds of weapons. In any case, this sheriff's substation has been a matter of some controversy here, for at least some folks, young people particularly, and you yourself have been, you've been telling us, and others have been confirming, you have been targeted. You've gotten arrested how many times here?
Well, four.
Yeah. This is for vandalizing, throwing bombs?
No, it's for being here.
You mean for sitting down like with a cup of coffee in your hand like you were?
Yeah, this is the first time I've been able to sit down since they put up that barricade, because Judge Stevens had given me this bench, and there's no better place else out here I can sit down, or Richard Quigley, and visit with anybody. And I think if they figured that we couldn't sit down, they'd get rid of us. But
we're actually sitting on the far side of the little patio area in front of the Rancho Liquors next to the coffee roasting. I mean, you are actually barred from walking, well, in any way lingering on the public sidewalk near the Rancho Liquors, right? I mean,
near the roasting company.
Roasting company, sorry.
The crank company.
And is that true also for Gottschalks?
No. Gottschalks, I'm allowed, since they dismissed all the charges on me, the criminal, I'm allowed everywhere else in the shopping center.
And those charges were interfering with a business. And that was by, should we say, presenting a bearded appearance outside? Was that the
nature? Yeah, I think it was being undesirable in this community. I think the nature of appearance was one of my big criminal acts.
You do have an Indiana kind of baseball cap on and a rather tattered flannel shirt, plus a definitely well-used set of blue jeans. Now,
Don't you think that you deserve it?
And you also have a little tape recorder on you, a Sony.
That's what they keep talking about being the weapon, I guess, the last year. But once they started coming at me, this is the only way I could survive was using a tape recorder.
They didn't like your tape recorder.
No, they didn't seem to like it. I don't know that they liked the truth.
So they closed off this area to stop you and possibly others from sitting here, and then you went to court on that issue, is that correct?
Yes, we filed the paperwork to go to court. And went to court.
In order to declare that it was a public nuisance, they're closing up.
And it was more than just a sign. It was a lot of these signs around here that try to portray all kinds of things around here as being illegal.
Such as?
Sitting on railing and quoting 602.1 as being the penal code. Or this ABC sign right over here. You can see numbers of them.
Oh, no loitering?
Yeah, but it's they put an ABC code that doesn't mean anything. The judge wouldn't address the issue of the signs.
Well, certainly Richard
had dealt more about that legal stuff. It was actually Richard's court case. Richard brought the action against him.
Loitering is no longer an illegal activity anywhere in the United States. It cannot. Loitering laws were declared unconstitutional in 1982 or 83 when they were shown to be discriminatory and vague and overreaching and so forth, or overbroad. But it's interesting. You say you went to court to get this area again opened up to the public, this public space reopened, and the day before you went to court, mysteriously
enough, the morning of the court,
yes,
they removed the fence and tried to make it a moot point.
But that wasn't successful?
No, the Judge Stevens told them that they needed to hire an attorney, that they couldn't represent themselves because they were a limited partnership, and the court case, from what I understand, is going to proceed forward.
Now, the funding for this court case has come from donations that you have personally solicited and received from friends, from young people here at the shopping center for the last year or so?
Yeah, I wrote the cost of it out of my personal account. The kids have been giving change to Rolls-Royce Fund to help save the constitutional rights of the village.
Called Rolls-Royce because?
Well, it's part of the cartoon strip. It's a cartoon character that the kids know about out here. And
you're also a cartoonist.
I think the kids here are more of a cartoon. I'm more one of the characters in the cartoon.
Oh, I see. So who is doing this cartoon series about Aptos?
Jared's one of them. Damien's actually drawing on it. Right now, we've just got a big box of rough things, rough drawings and characters drawn, and you know, we're just still in the rough stages, and the comic strip runs about life, just the way we see it in the village here.
Is this being regularly published, or is it still
it's
sort of a private project?
It's a private project, and I think it's been a way that the kids have got to understand what's going on here and explaining to the kids, and it's just a way of looking at the picture, looking about what's actually going on. Jared.
So here's one of the artists of the strip. Are we going to be seeing this soon in living color on a newsstand nearby?
I don't know.
How long have you been doing
it? Doing what?
The strip.
I don't strip for anybody.
He looks like he strips, doesn't he?
What are you talking about, man? I don't do no stripping.
He has a shirt that says Counterculture with a bunch of sheep on it. It's a very suspicious sign.
But it's got a black sheep in it.
A black sheep?
And it's going the other direction of the white.
And that was Jerry Henry out at the Aptos Shopping Center talking about success in getting part of the public space again opened up for young people, poor people, folks who the merchants may not like too much, but really it's none of their business discriminating against out in the public area. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and I want to apologize for all the high voices in some of the tapes, which happened partially because I have a tape recorder that should have been discarded years ago. So send your spare tape recorders to me at Free Radio Santa Cruz, Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz 95061. I'm sure that actually Free Radio Santa Cruz can use any equipment that you send. We are still under significant threat of closure by the FCC, and we're going to be at subsequent shows talking more about that, assuming we can talk about anything. We're still looking for a place to go. Free Radio Santa Cruz needs to move. So if you know of a place that Free Radio would be welcome, give a call to their voicemail at 427-4523. There is a protest broadcast tomorrow against the FCC raid in Berkeley. That will be August 14th at 9 p.m. at the Long Hall. Let me read this little broadcast to you. In response to the August 2nd FCC raid on micro-broadcasting activists in the Berkeley Hills, there will be a protest broadcast on August 14th at 9 p.m. By this broadcast, we'll be protesting the militant actions taken against micropower stations all across the country by the FCC and law enforcement officials. The FCC will be notified through the broadcast medium that their actions are reprehensible by not giving a voice to the American public. They are not distributing the public airwaves in the public interest. They are We will demonstrate how the radio waves are so uniquely accessible to large segments of the public by utilizing simple, easy-to-use broadcasting equipment. There is no excuse for the current media monopoly. And that's going to be happening on Friday, tomorrow, 9 p.m. in Berkeley, California. So if you happen to be up there, I think you should tune in, and if I only had the appropriate frequency, how happy I would be. But perhaps if you stay tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, you can learn that in the hours ahead. Well, Uncle Dennis should be breaking down the door very shortly with the Earth First program, which is next, and I hope at my next show to have a report. Uncle Dennis and I are looking into legal avenues for the station. We are not averse to legal avenues necessarily. Some have called us illegal. Some have called us pirates. We like to think of ourselves as friendly pioneers. I'm now going to play you a song that my producer has been nagging me to play for the last five shows. Actually more appropriate on Hiroshima Day or Nagasaki Day, called Christmas at Ground Zero. Weird Al, Christmas at Ground Zero. And of course, that's what we got all the time, gang, even though we aren't aware of it, because there has been no renunciation of nuclear weapons. The United States is selling them, distributing them, at least in terms of the...
I want to buy one!
Hey, here's a customer. We'll call contact. Actually, that's Uncle Dennis is here, ready to proceed with his show, which is a devastation of a sort, I suppose.
He's an icky terrorist,
actually. I want to remind you, for those on the committee to repeal the sleeping ban, please call in. The first three people will be given $1,000 to be paid by the last three callers. And the United Farm Workers needs to keep 200 people alive with food and clothing. Violence in the field is decimating the folks. Give a call to 763-4820. We're going to go out on this song since we have 2 minutes left, Dennis.
Oh, you got 2 minutes?
We got
two minutes,
man.
Yeah. Hi, I wanted to say for Housing Now in Santa Cruz that if people call me at 423-HOME about having a study group, it'd be way more fun to go over the rest of that Beach Flats plan together, particularly the housing stupidity, than all of us by ourselves. Also, my email now is hearth8@hotmail.com.
And that was Linda LeMaster, our guest. We now go out on a song by old-time 70s activist Andy Laufer, Mary Kelly.
A small piece of pie.